League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Another week.
Another week.
Yes.
So what's going on? There's not that many left in the year.
Don't say that.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm the person that was trying to hold on to summer.
Yeah.
But.
Well, we got a little glimpse. The Lord has been smiling on us the last couple of days.
Soaking up all the sunshine, taking walks in the middle of the day just to let the sun beat on my face.
I'll just tell you, I was so mad. I was in Boston and it was 40 degrees in Boston.
When?
This week. I was in Boston. It was 40 to 50 degrees. It was very, very cold. I come home. I've got on a Scully, a hoodie, wool coat. And I'm like, Joker's got shorts on in Jersey. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, we must have crossed paths then on the highway or something because I was in Providence around the same time. But
yeah,
it was a little chilly at night.
Yeah. Well, you were in the jet. I was in the helicopter. So
whatever.
We didn't see each other. Yeah. So you were telling me a story off mic, and I was like, yo, tell a story so everybody can hear it.
I don't know if it's going to land, but okay. We'll talk about it anyway.
If it's whack, we'll cut it.
Okay. All right. Of course. We never cut anything. So Halloween was yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't get down with the dark, evil, twisted side of it. That's just not my thing. But
so you don't dress up or let your kids dress up?
Oh, no. We do all the fun things.
Okay.
We do all the fun things. I hand out candy.
Okay.
All of that. I just don't celebrate darkness, if that makes sense.
No, draw a distinction between
it's like a happy, it truly is a happy, joyful
fine
situation.
So I'm just trying to draw the distinction between handing out candy, dressing up, but not celebrating it. So it's really that you're not celebrating the gory, bloody.
Correct.
Okay. What about spiders? Or will you hang spiders in the crib?
No.
Okay. All right.
I have a nice harvest.
Black hats?
Decor. No. No okay. Witches.
So it's harvest.
No ghosts.
Okay.
No goblins.
No ghouls.
No ghouls. No spiders.
All right.
No webs,
okay. Thriller.
No blood.
Will you play Thriller on Halloween?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Are you against it? Do you look down on people who listen to Thriller on Halloween?
No. Okay. I just choose not to do that.
Okay.
That's all.
That's
no,
fine.
It's all good.
I'll allow it.
It's all good. It's a happy time.
Okay. All right. It's Halloween. Time.
It's Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Daughter does the safe Halloween. You know, as a high school student, some of the kids in the community go trick-or-treating at the high school. So the high school students are handing out candy to the little kids. So, you know.
That's sweet.
They're all driving now. So it's okay. Like, hey, our house has become the gathering spot.
Okay.
On Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Something my son started some years ago. So anyway, the kids come and some of them I haven't seen in a long time. And they're like, oh, Mama Gray. That is my
That's
name.
That's your name, Mama Gray.
Or Mommy Gray. I don't like Mama Gray. It
I'm
sounds
starting
like
to call you Mama Gray.
No, please don't.
This is
it
Alan Boomer
like,
and Mama Gray.
No. Mommy Gray, I'll take.
Big Mama Gray.
No, no. Anyway, let me get to the point. So I decide, so my hair is straight. Now, got the little bob situation going on.
Pressed.
I've decided permed. I am going, correct. I decided I'm going to try something and see if they get it.
Okay.
I go and I change. I had on like jeans and a t-shirt.
Okay.
To my tan suit.
Okay.
I put on some pearl studs and a strand of pearls.
Okay.
A black top.
Okay.
And some black pumps. And I asked my daughter's friends, which of them among the group is 18? And I full on go into, great. You know, you have an important decision to make.
Mm.
We are not going back.
So you were
and I
dressed up as Kamala Harris
yes.
at that time?
I just wanted to see if they were going to get it. Mm. Some of them did. Most of them didn't.
Yeah, because it's
But they told me I had to have a, I had to have led with like a catchphrase.
Yeah.
Instead of me trying to channel. Yeah. But.
Yeah, that's not much of a costume for you. Like, like I'm saying, you and Kamala have a lot in common. Like.
What? We're tall-ish
I'm
black
saying
women.
Y'all are both really intelligent.
Hmm.
Really serious
mm-hmm.
women.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a stretch.
It wasn't a stretch.
It didn't seem like a, yeah, no yeah. one thought it was a costume.
You coming downstairs as Donald J. Trump, that would
Of course. But I wonder for the parents who let their kids walk up to the door, so they're out at the street, but the kid is at the door. I wonder if from a distance they were like, because I really wanted to do it for them because I wanted to get a reaction.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. This would probably be
strangers.
Ranked amongst the worst Halloween costumes.
Like, but I also didn't try. Like, I didn't plan this. It yeah. just, it was an idea that came to me.
Yeah.
The idea came to me after we already had guests.
Okay.
So
all right.
We're going to scratch this story.
Yeah.
Because it's not funny.
Well, for Halloween, I'll be an accountant. How about that?
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Do you dress up?
Sometimes.
I did when my kids were little.
Yeah. I was on TV this week. I brought a mask. Put the mask on. I don't talk when I go. I don't tell people when I go on TV all the time. I was on Fox Business, and I refuse to talk politics on Fox Business, but I talk stocks, and I brought a mask. He asked me about these
Did you
stocks.
Wear it?
Yeah. I put it on.
On TV?
Yeah. Just like a little eye mask. He was asking me about certain stocks, and I was like, to be honest, if you want me to say I like those stocks, I got to put a mask on because those okay. stocks are whack.
Now I'm going to look for this footage.
Okay. It's out there.
I will go find it.
Okay.
Interesting.
But you talked about the big important decision that folks have to make.
Mm-hmm.
Today's not going to be about that decision.
Yeah, let's not.
It will be about decisions in general.
Fair.
Make up your mind. We're yes. going to help you to understand how to make better decisions in your life and in your financial decision making.
I'm here for it.
What made us want to talk about this today? Unrelated. Andrea had a call from a client at a car dealership, frantically trying to figure out which model to buy. I got a call from a different client at a different dealership in a different city
yeah.
with the same thing. And so many times in our job, clients are asking us for reassurance.
Yeah.
They're asking for help making decisions. And there's so many different things that they ask us for help with where I'm like, we should probably talk about making decisions.
Yeah, and like, our approach to giving advice around making decisions.
Absolutely. So that you, the listener, can make better decisions in your own life. Not to say we don't want our clients to bother us. Of course, bother us.
No bother. I always say, it's no bother at all.
Yeah.
Even if I'm bothered.
Yeah, it's not, I think it's cool. Like, I feel like responsible when folks ask me for
Of course.
Advice about and certain things.
At its core, I'm never bothered by it, but sometimes the timing, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
This is happening.
Ironically, one of the funny situations that we wind up in is when folks are making a decision on who to work with as a financial advisor. And often they're asking us the questions. And I feel like that's kind of strange. Like, yeah. I appreciate the questions. We answer the questions. But like, when you're looking for a framework of how to make a decision,
mm-hmm.
you know, you need your own method. You don't need to ask the person that you're trying to decide on necessarily.
Right, right. I feel like in those situations, though, the person has probably already made up their mind, and it's up to us not to mess it up.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you got this already, but I'm going to throw this question at you anyway because I feel responsible
yeah.
as the asker, and you just have to not mess up.
Fine. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
So we'll talk about decision making because there's a lot of folks out here struggling with decision making.
Mm-hmm.
There was a study of more than 14,000 employees and business leaders across 17 different countries. And generally what it found is that people are struggling to make decisions in their personal lives and professional lives all at a time when they are being asked to make more and more decisions than ever.
Mm.
Here's some of the stats. 85% of business leaders say that they've suffered from decision distress about making decisions in the past year. And decision distress speaks to feeling of regret. We did a show about that.
Yeah.
Feeling guilty and just double questioning.
Mm-hmm. Overthinking.
Yeah. Is that you? Are you one of these decision distressors?
Not a decision distressor, but I do put a lot of energy into making decisions. But once I make the decision, I'm good.
You're good.
Like, I don't look back or tend to have regrets about the decision.
Yeah.
Because I put a lot into it.
Can't lie. Back in the day, I used to flip a coin. When I got to that point where I'm like, do I go left, right? And I'm kind of good either way.
Yeah.
I was the coin flipping dude.
Just one time? Or it's like,
yeah, if you got,
like, 3 out of 5.
If you have to flip it multiple times, then you kind of know what you want to do, was my mindset. So basically my method was, if I flip it, I got to go with what the coin says, hands down. Okay. No double flip, no triple flip. And it tends to work out.
Hmm.
More stats. 72% of respondents said that the sheer volume of data and their lack of trust in data has paralyzed them from making decisions.
Analysis paralysis.
74% of people say the number of decisions they have to make every day has increased by 10x in the last 3 years.
Why would that be? Do I like this or not? Do I scroll? Swipe left. It's also, I blame everything on social media.
But think about it. All right, I'm just give you some examples of decisions that folks are out here contemplating.
Okay.
Do I cut the cord or not for cable?
Sure.
Okay, if I cut the cord, do I go with this provider or that provider? Mm-hmm. Should I go with this app or that app? Like, a lot of times these decisions just lead to more decisions. I've decided I want to be in an electric vehicle. Should I get this one or that one? Mm-hmm. Should I get this model within that brand or that model?
Too many choices.
Like,
we're so blessed. We have so many choices. That's why we have to make so many decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it simple.
College. Majors.
Yeah.
Which jobs to apply for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, certifications. Yeah. Should I get them or not? Yep. Like, there's a lot of decisions. I mean, it's not getting smaller. I'm going to just put it like that.
Okay.
10X. That 10X sounds like.
Sounds like a lot. Jeez.
Like, what was your last year like where you only had to make 3 or 4 decisions? Like, what, were you in kindergarten, my girl? Like, okay. More stats. 85% of people say that their inability to make decisions is having a negative impact on their quality of life, causing spikes in anxiety, missed opportunities, and unnecessary spending.
That part.
Yeah.
That would eat at me.
What part? Like, I gave like multiple parts.
The leading to unnecessary spending.
Yeah.
A lack of decision making that leads to unnecessary spending is,
yeah,
it's the worst to me.
Mm.
Just saying.
Has that happened to you recently?
I can't say anymore. I'm getting in trouble.
So as a result, 93% of people have changed the way they make decisions over the last 3 years. Not that it's made them more confident in those decisions, but we'll talk today about how to make decisions, how the mind works. Why don't we get into how the mind works a little bit
when it comes finance.
To decisions? And it's not just finance, though, but like in general.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Behavioral thinking. So psychologists have basically broken down our decision making into 2 types of thinking. There's fast thinking and there's slow thinking.
Simple.
Yeah. Fast thinking, I remember back in the day, my dad would do this. He would like throw me like a bottle of water and say, think fast.
Okay. But is like, that fast thinking or that's like reaction, but you know.
But that's a fast thinking situation. Sure. Mm-hmm. It's easy and automatic. Like you just react. Like you're not really processing information. I mean, there's a bottle of water hurtling towards your head. Like
you're going to duck.
Think fast. Like catch it, duck. Like those are the options.
Yeah.
If you sit there like,
what am I going to do?
Now you got bust in the head with some water.
Exactly. You hear a popping sound. What do you do? What's your first reaction?
I think it's a gun. So I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm ducking and I'm running.
Yeah. Okay.
Thinking fast is like one of those things that actually helps us to survive. Like it's a primal thing.
Fair.
Right? Like think about years and years ago. Like should I walk towards the saber-toothed tiger or not? I mean like should I trust him? Does he look... like I should make him a pet. It's a primal survival instinct, thinking fast. Other examples of thinking fast would be like, someone says, hey, how are you? And you say,
good.
Yeah.
Fine.
Are you good, though?
Yeah.
Maybe not. Because yeah. you're not really thinking about it. Like, you're just reacting. That's thinking fast.
Let me tell you how I overthink.
Okay.
I don't even like to ask people how they're doing unless I have time to listen if they're not doing well.
Dang. What about a stranger? Someone says, how you doing? What do you say?
Usually it's, I'm well. Or I might.
You don't feel compelled to ask them how they're doing?
Oh, yeah. It's probably like, I'm well. How are you?
Yeah.
Oh, good and you?
Okay.
Yeah. Strangers.
Are you giving a good in you if you don't have time to hear if they're good?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just rudely say, I'm fine.
It's not rude. If I ask them, I will feel bad if they start going on and I don't really have time to meet somebody new and engage and listen to their problems.
Yeah. Well, you're a thoughtful friend.
I try.
For them.
I try.
So fast thinking is really about snap judgment. It's about your brain actively conserving energy and prioritizing being fast in its response. It's about being on autopilot, yeah. which we spend most of our time as mm-hmm. decision makers on autopilot. Just kind of doing the thing that we did last time.
Yep.
Or what we see other people doing.
Yeah.
Which I hate, by the way.
Mob mentality.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, slow thinking, on the other hand, is conscious. It's deliberate, it's rational, it, as the name would imply, requires a bit more time and attention. It's effortful.
Effortful.
It's logical, and it's also skeptical. My skeptical bone is real strong, by the way.
Okay.
I'm like the most skeptical person ever when it comes to investments.
You are.
I'd be like,
Yep.
What's the catch?
Every time.
Every time.
I've seen it live and in person. I'm like, why is this such an issue for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It served me well sometimes.
Not every time. You need to have skeptics, right?
Yeah. What about you? What is your, I guess, slow thinking strength? Mine is skepticism. What is yours?
Organization. Like, just logic. In general, okay. Like it has to make sense. There has to be an order to it.
Okay.
I don't know that that's a skill necessarily, but like I'm putting processes together as I'm hearing about it. Like, how is that really going to work?
Mm. Okay.
Like I guess in a way it's skepticism, but it's like, I need to understand the how.
It's logic.
It's not just the logic. It's not just the what, it's the how. Yeah. I actually say that a lot.
It's the how.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it. So when we're doing slow thinking, I mean, examples of times when you've got to actually think, you're parking a car in a small space.
Mm.
You might turn your radio down for that.
Yes.
If you're African American.
What is that about?
You got to concentrate.
Sound and thinking. Yeah.
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 Figuring out a math problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like a word problem. I'm saying like.
Sure.
You know, two cars traveling at the same distance.
Yeah.
Those. That type of problem. Yep. Writing an essay.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something you can just be like, yeah, I went to the store. Like, you got to give it some thought.
Sure.
Spitting game would be. Well, I guess for some, it's automatic.
I wouldn't know.
So we're talking about decision making. We're going to break down a little bit more about how the mind works and really help you to land on some tips and strategies for making better decisions in your personal life and your financial life. Keep listening. I'm Alan Boomer.
Mama Gray.
I was going to say it if you didn't say it.
Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
And we're back.
Yes.
Let's talk about these cognitive biases.
These are real things. They're real. They're real. So, I mean, it's to the point now where on some of these financial certification exams, they are testing people on this. Wow. They may not all be called what we call them, but it's a thing where they're training professionals like us to recognize these biases so that we can help our clients move past them.
Interesting.
So there's memory bias, where what you experienced recently weighs more heavily on your decision-making than past experiences.
Okay, I can see that.
I mean, that's who we are as people, though, right? Sometimes our feelings about something, our decision-making about something is based on something
that happened very recently.
Yeah.
That you remember.
Yep.
And but also that feeling of regret might be really powerful if it was recent.
Absolutely. And that sounds a little bit like recency bias, too.
Well, I think recency bias is a little different because it's that expectation that what happened last week is going to happen again next week.
Okay.
But this memory bias is like this. Let's say I missed out on an investment opportunity for whatever reason, and that investment goes really well. And now I'm like, oh, I got to get on the next one.
Right.
And the next one may not be as good of an opportunity, but because of my memory bias, mm-hmm. I remember that feeling of regret from not doing it.
Yeah.
I remember how well it went. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and do that.
That's me in homecoming 2024.
Oh, my God.
Like, I've already booked a hotel for next year. I haven't, but it's it's a thing.
Something's going to come. I have faith in your kids to put something on the calendar that will trump.
It could happen, but
yeah. There's confirmation bias. And that's when our mind already knows which way we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just looking for confirmation.
Right.
Like, we're looking for the data points that make us feel better about the decision we want to make.
Sure.
If we find conflicting data, we're like, oh, yeah, throw that to the side for a minute.
Right, yeah.
I definitely have been guilty of that. When I was first getting into franchising,
mm-hmm.
I had already decided I wanted to be in franchising, for example. I'd already decided the industry I wanted to be in. And you couldn't tell me not to be in gyms.
Yeah.
Like, oh, of course.
Right.
Like, I met somebody in restaurants. I'd be like, oh, yeah, you should be in gyms. Like,
right.
Everything that I looked at was telling me to be in gyms. All the economic data, as I'm seeing more and more of them open, I'm like, oh, yeah, I must be doing the right thing.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like something you actually said to me. And I think it's a principle that's outlined in The Alchemist.
Mm.
Once you decide to do something, the universe conspires to make it happen.
This is true.
And then sometimes you're like, it's confirmation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like you buy a car and then you feel like you just keep seeing that car on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems to happen all the time.
But yeah, that confirmation bias can be a blind spot for you. Because you're going to ignore certain information.
Right.
If you're just mentally being attracted to the stuff that's helping you to confirm what you already thought.
Yep. Then there's loss aversion bias, where your fear of loss outweighs your desire to make gains.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
It's a weird kind of thing, but it's kind of like, well, there's some risk of loss with investing in particular.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see this a lot in folks that heard about people that lost everything.
Yeah.
Like, did they really lose everything? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I know what you mean.
I don't want to be in stocks because I heard my uncle lost everything.
Right. It's like, everything?
Yeah.
Like, really, really everything? Or, I mean, this translates to relationships too. Like, some people are like, I'm not going to pursue this person or pursue this opportunity because if I get rejected,
yeah,
It's like, yeah. But you could be missing out. What's that expression? It's better to have loved than to have lost, than to never have loved at all. I'm a hopeless romantic, so.
My oldest son struggles with that, too. Mm. He's like, he'll like a girl. Mm-hmm. He will not say a word to that girl. Because he's like, yeah, what if she doesn't like me? Mm-hmm. I'll just be quiet. I'll wait for her to say something to me.
Yeah.
I can't stand the loss. I'm like, man, close mouth, don't get fed, young buck.
We know too many of the same people. Yeah. I can't comment. Okay. But yeah, that makes me sad, actually.
Framing bias, where you perceive the outcome based on how it was presented to you. Like if somebody's like, look, let me tell you about this bad thing that somebody wants me to do. And then they tell you about the thing and you automatically think it's bad because that's how they framed it.
Yeah.
Or good, for that matter. I often find this with investment opportunities that people tell me about, that clients tell me about. Mm-hmm. Hey, I heard about this great thing. Mm-hmm. I think I want to invest.
Yep.
What do you think?
Yeah.
And because they heard it from the person soliciting it, the person selling it.
Yep.
Of course, they told them a lot of the good things about it.
All the good things.
They framed it in that positive way.
Of course.
Marketing. Which made it stick that way.
Yeah. It's all marketing and advertising.
And that's why you need a skeptical.
For balance.
Financial partner.
There you go. For balance.
Anchoring bias, relying too heavily on past reference or one singular piece of information.
Yeah. I mean, some people are making voting decisions on that, right? Mm. One piece of data, which may or may not even be accurate.
Lord, help me. Jesus.
I know. We said we weren't going to talk about it, but.
Yeah. The thing about this election, which we're not talking about on purpose, it's just like you're entitled to your own opinion, but you are not entitled to your own facts.
Right.
And folks are out here manufacturing facts that are really just opinions, masked as facts.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like cult-like thinking.
Very much so.
In one regard.
Speaking of which,
we're not talking about that.
Speaking of which, there's the bandwagon effect. It's gaining comfort because other people are doing some stuff.
For real.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's as it goes with investing, a lot of times by the time everyone has jumped on the proverbial bandwagon,
too late.
It's too late.
Yeah.
It's like that thing is expensive. We're supposed to buy low and sell high. Hello. And you're buying it weeks after it went off sale.
Yeah.
Well, things don't go off sale, but you know.
Yeah.
It's like, it's already done what it's going to do.
One thing I hate when people say, my little brother said this to me one time. So who we all voting for? I'm like, we all?
We all?
Well, I'm sorry. There's the voting booth I walk into has one space at a time. Like,
right.
I don't know what we all doing. I know what I'm doing.
Right.
I don't know about
Perhaps he was looking for some guidance.
Fine.
He wanted a voting plan. He wanted some assistance developing his voting plan.
So that he could be a fast thinker and not a slow thinker.
There you go.
And then finally, overconfidence. This is a big one.
This is a big one.
Overconfidence comes from, let's say I got lucky once or twice.
Yep.
But I think it's because I'm so good.
Yeah.
It makes me want to now go do it 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10
right.
times.
Yep. Yep. Met a stranger in the store. He might be listening. I'm sorry. I'm not going to say your name. And he clearly was trying to pitch something to me. Okay. I didn't know what this, I'm like, why is he lingering? Why does he keep looking at me? Like, you know. Anyway, he asked me what I did for a living. And once I told him, he goes, oh, you know what? I made a lot of money on Carvana. Mm. He's like, I bought it at this and it went up to here and then it went up to here. And he's just like, and I was like, do you still own it? Or he's just like, no, I sold it. And I was like, okay, well, good for you. So then he was like, but I think I should do it again.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like.
Buy more Carvana?
I just didn't understand. But when I realized he invests in other things and he was trying to figure out if we would help him gather other people to invest in real estate and other stuff. And I was like, yeah, we're going to cut that because he might be listening.
He ain't listening. Let me go ahead and get my.
He asked for my card.
That's fine. Let me go ahead and get my ring dings and get on out of here, sir. I'm not gathering people to be in your scheme.
Yeah.
Sir, I'm skeptical.
I should have changed the name of the stock to protect the innocent. Mm. But But I didn't, so oh well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but that's the, you spoke of overconfidence, right? So it's the idea that I invested in this thing, so I know I could do it again. But it's also that idea of recency bias.
Like all of that.
I did that recently.
Mm-hmm.
That's the funny thing about falling in love with a stock.
Or a one investment in particular.
Yeah,
because I think
he's
taking that same principle and applying it to a completely different type of investment.
Yeah.
Or investing.
Yeah, but let's just go back to that one stock for a second.
Okay.
Like, just because it went up 1,000%, like that particular stock actually went up by a ton
because
it came up on the news show I was on this week.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, hey, there's this stock. So then we should think that these stocks are also going to do the same thing. I'm like, no.
Right.
Definitely not. But yeah, like if you do something once, you feel like you could do it a million times.
Mm-hmm.
You might feel like you can do it for your friends and family. Like you think you might think you should set up a firm to go do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, yo, sometimes people are overconfident. Like I'll tell you, so basically the stock market has gone straight up since like 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Like little break here and there. We took a break for COVID.
Yeah.
We took a break.
That was
in
a short break.
2022. That was a bad year.
Mm-hmm.
But the market's basically going straight up. So, like, it's very easy to think that investing is super simple and you can't lose.
Right.
But you certainly can.
Yes, you can.
If you're overconfident. So let's get into some decision frameworks. There's two that we'll talk about. I think you'll like both of them.
Okay.
But, Andre, I think you'll especially like the second one.
Okay.
Because the second one gets into quantitative things and analytical things. I think you'll appreciate that one.
I am a nerd.
So let me start with more of a qualitative decision-making framework.
Okay.
Okay. Five steps. Step number one, ask yourself if you're being emotional or if you're being rational with your decision.
Mm.
That's a tough one to figure out.
It is tough because I don't know if people know if they're being emotional or rational.
Mm.
Like you have to have some self-awareness to even respond to that, right?
You might also need someone else to hold up a mirror for you.
Yeah.
That's where a financial advisor can come in. That's where a spouse might come in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you really need someone who's not invested in the outcome. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, we had a potential client one time that decided already that they're both going to buy Teslas. Husband and wife, they're like, yeah, we're going to get matching Teslas.
Mm-hmm.
One spouse was working, one spouse was not.
Okay.
And I'm like, y'all both need a Tesla? And they're both explaining to each other and to me why this is the best decision ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still like, but one of y'all doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to this idea of emotional or rational, you might need a second opinion from a third party that's got no vested benefit from the outcome of what's being decided.
So, but for the, I got to pull this thread a little bit.
Okay.
So for the party that did not work, was your thought that they didn't need a new car at all? Like, or was it about the Tesla?
Why do you need two $70,000 vehicles? Because they weren't just getting like the base model.
Okay.
They were getting like a nice, like the Model S. I forget the different levels, but they were getting the expensive ones.
So was it your idea that the one who worked should get the new car and the one who didn't?
No, my idea was...
I'm adding my own bias
to this
scenario.
Okay. We had just done a full financial profile.
Got it.
I determined that they were really, they had a super high debt ratio.
Okay.
Their debt ratio was like 91%, which means if you're that, that means that when I talk debt ratio... No, no, I'm going to get into
less.
No.
Say less. They don't need to be buying two new cars.
They owed $90,000 and had $100,000 in assets. I mean, that's the type of economic situation they're in. And one of them doesn't work.
Right.
So really, it's like, do y'all both need a Tesla? Do y'all need a Tesla at all?
Right.
What's wrong with y'all current cars? Like, how are y'all getting around right now?
Mm-hmm.
Emotional versus rational.
Again, I added my own biases to
this
scenario.
I like it. I like it. Second, in our qualitative framework, do I have all of the information that I need to make the decision?
Yeah. I cannot stand being in a situation where I'm expected to make a decision and quickly, and I don't have information.
Yeah.
I'm just like, why are you even asking me this?
Mm.
Like, I feel like it's a form of bullying.
All right. So now you're stepping on toes for a second. All right.
What do you mean?
Okay. When I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I am ready to eat.
Okay.
If we go to a restaurant, mm-hmm. let's say me and my wife, for example, mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, it's a Jamaican restaurant. You know what they got. Like, pick. Like, she's like, well, I need all the information. I'm like, yo, jerk shrimp, curry shrimp. Like,
so that's roti, different. Yeah, like, that's different though. Because so you're dealing with a limited data set already.
I'm just saying, like, I appreciate that you need all the information.
Yeah.
Sometimes you already have the information.
Sometimes you already have it.
No, but
yeah.
I was joking. But seriously, like, when it comes to making a decision, like right now we're in the process of buying software for our firm. Did we talk to enough vendors?
Right. Okay.
I love asking vendors, who's your biggest competitor?
Yes.
And what do people say who picked them versus you?
Yeah.
Because I need more information. Like, the thing is, when you're talking to a salesperson, of course they're just talking about the good stuff.
Yeah.
I want to know what's the thing that actually is a challenge for you.
Of course. And I think the best salesperson has an answer to all of those questions.
Yeah. Hopefully it's the truth.
Yeah.
And not just spin.
Yeah. Sometimes it's how they respond, not always what they say, mm-hmm. but sometimes it's how they respond, how they react to it.
Yeah. And sometimes you're looking for a black and white, yes or no. Does your software do this or no? And then if it's a lot of words, it's like, all right, that means no.
Yeah.
And I always try, I make people uncomfortable. I'm like, look, so that's no then.
Right. Yeah. So that would be no. Thank you.
Well, we're working on it. And like, well, it's not even that important. Like, nah, bro, like, just tell me yes or no.
Yeah. You got to get with a quick, not yet. What's on the horizon is, you got to practice that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a no.
That's a no.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. The next part of our qualitative decision-making set. What's the best and worst that could happen based on this decision?
Yeah. I like that approach. Right? Just, I'm a pros and cons girl. I make a T-chart and this is all the good things. These are all the bad things. Is the worst thing that could happen significantly worse than what's the gap between the best mm-hmm. and the worst?
Yeah.
And probably I'm going to land somewhere in the middle.
Now, if the consequences are Jamaican food, I get jerk, but I should have got curry. Like, I'm still good.
You're still good.
I live to eat another day.
You live to eat another
day. If the consequence is something like, what state do I want to live in? Like, bigger consequences.
That's a big deal. Yeah.
So you want to weigh these things based on the severity of the outcome.
Yes.
Like, if I pick a place where I'm buying a house, I can't just change my mind.
Right.
About that.
Yeah.
So I might need to take a little bit more time to make that decision.
You definitely need to take a lot more time to make that decision.
I know we said qualitative, but there's always some numbers in the qualitative stuff.
Always.
Does it make sense? Like, do the numbers add up? Am I doing this for the right reason? Am I doing this because everybody else is doing it?
Right.
Or am I doing it because it adds up and it makes sense financially?
Yeah.
And then finally, what is the risk of waiting?
Yeah.
Like, do I have to do this right now? Do I have to make this decision right now?
Yeah.
Or
something
could I
else
wait?
I don't like. I mean, this kind of goes back a little bit to, I don't have enough information. Sometimes it's like, if I have to make this decision in a hurry, mm-hmm. I probably am not going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, some things, yeah, you have to make a quick decision. You just do for survival. We talked about that, right?
Yeah.
But for other things, it's kind of like, if I just wait, what's the worst that could happen?
Sometimes waiting is your best asset.
Yes.
In a negotiation,
mm-hmm.
right? Walking away.
Truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They might be like, wait, mama, great, let me see what I can do to get you to stay, right?
Yeah.
Waiting, like not having to make a decision, that's valuable.
Trying to teach one of my kids that. It's like, you know, because you waited, now we have more options. And the options that you have are better mm-hmm. than the ones that you had if we made a decision quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In spades, they say, think long, think wrong. But in life...
Is that a spades thing? I didn't catch the reference.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. I went to an HBCU.
How many you got?
So
I did too, but I didn't attribute that to spades.
Where did you hear? Have you heard think long, think wrong?
Yeah.
Where, in what context?
I don't think I really thought about where it originated.
Okay.
Which you're not necessarily saying it originated in spades. You're just saying
it's just one of those things.
Huh.
That and don't renege. Like, that'd be another one.
For sure. That's definitely a spades thing. Yep. I don't think I would have ever heard the word. Have I ever heard the word? I have heard the word, but my first introduction to the word renege was definitely spades related.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And I actually thought it was a...
A racial
derivative
slur?
Word or something else. I was like,
I already nicked once. Now I gotta do it again. Okay, that's bad. That is bad.
It's okay for the culture.
So again, we're helping you to make some better decisions. We've walked through a qualitative framework. Why don't we go to break? When we come back, we'll get into the quantitative version.
All right, let's do it.
I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray,
and we are the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Momentum.
And we're back.
Yes, we're going to talk about this decision matrix. Like, how do you, what's a practical way to make decisions?
So I learned this in undergrad.
Okay.
I still use it on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
I may or may not have used this in some very significant life decisions that I made, including possibly maybe. Who to marry.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Possibly.
Oh, my gosh.
Possibly.
I think I know what you're going to say now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear it.
Okay. So... decision matrix. Very simple, very powerful. You need a single sheet of paper.
Mm-hmm.
You make a little grid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? On the...
So like a T?
Yeah, like a little tic-tac-toe. Like a little tic-tac-toe type of grid. The grid.
Boxes?
Boxes.
Just a vertical line and a horizontal line.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. So going horizontally...
Mm-hmm.
Column one is your criteria. Like, what are the different ways in which I'm going to analyze my choices?
Mm-hmm.
Column two would be my first option.
Mm-hmm.
Column three, my next option.
Mm-hmm.
Column four, my next option. So let's say I'm comparing three different things. So I got a column.
I've overthought this because I'm taking you literally. And I'm like, tic-tac-toe has two horizontal and two vertical lines.
You understand what I mean. A grid.
I'm thinking you're talking like a thing with quadrants, like 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm getting there.
All right. It's fine. Okay. All right.
Now my rows going left and right. Okay. Each one of my criteria will be a row.
Okay.
For instance, and we can build one live right here on air. Like we just did this with software. So like we were looking at a bunch of different financial planning software.
Yeah.
And so, for example, the features or the list that was in the on the rows, for us, it was, is there an app would be like one example. How good is the app would be another. Is there a document vault? Mm. Is there performance reporting baked in?
Yep.
So those would be examples of some of the features or characteristics. And then for each column, it's, okay, software one, software two, software three.
Yeah.
Okay, so then that's step one, is to build the grid.
Yep.
Step two, you know, write down all the different things that matter to you.
Yeah.
So in that software thing, it was like, yeah, we really need a better portal. Like, our portal was kind of messing up on our original piece of software. Mm-hmm. That was our most important thing. But then the second thing was, you know, how good is what's in the portal? So like, meaning if you didn't have a portal, then that was going to really, really hurt your chances of getting selected in this process.
Sure.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of this, by the way.
Okay. Have you done something like this? The matrix?
Absolutely.
Decision matrix?
Okay. Absolutely.
Good. I'd expect nothing
less. I've done one here for another vendor. But
good. Very good.
Y'all ain't going to give me credit for that. But.
So the next thing you got to do is rank the importance of each one of these features or characteristics.
Yeah.
And that's going to be on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being the most important. So going back to that example. It's a weighting. So going back to that example with the software, the number one thing for us was, is there a portal? That's 5. That's a 5 out of, on a scale of 1 to 5.
Yeah.
Or it could be a 1 to 10. Like, that's a 10.
Yep.
Right? How good is a portal? That's also a 5. Like, it doesn't have to be like literally ranked 1 through 10 or whatever, but you want to weight things higher that matter to you more.
Sure.
Because then, bottom line, we got to other things like cost. Like, cost, not to say that we're made of money, but like, that was the least of our concerns. So like, cost was a 1 for us in this analysis.
Really?
Yeah. Like, we wanted to get that. The software right.
Yeah.
Like, it matters, but it doesn't matter more than the quality.
Sure.
So like, in coming up with your decision matrix, you should be able to link what you're feeling about this to how you rank the importance of each thing.
Sure.
Okay, so now I got my tic-tac-toe grid.
College decisions.
With the extra rows.
Definitely using a matrix. Okay, got it.
Okay. I've got all my features and characteristics in column 1. I've got in my 3 columns to the right all my different options. I then have to be really objective at scoring each option. So for software item number 1, on the question of how good is the app, I needed to have played with the app. I needed to see what are all the functionalities that are inside the app. And then I give it a score on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the best.
Yep.
Right? And so I put a little 5 in that box. So you do end up with tic-tac-toe boxes.
Okay.
I put a little 5 in that box. I go to the next criteria set. How good is the financial planning inside the app?
Yep.
Okay, maybe that's a 4. And I keep going down the line for that particular vendor.
Yep.
Or if I were grading something else.
Yeah, you got to score.
The final step is, after I've scored each one of these options, now it's a math problem.
Yeah.
I just multiply the score for each thing times the weight for each thing. Now, the big thing is, like, you got to be going the same direction with your numbers, meaning higher is better.
Yep.
In terms of how you score that particular option, and higher is also better in terms of importance. Like, the 5 is the best you can get on importance, and it's the best score you can get in your box. So meaning the highest number I'd find in my box is 25. On something that's really of low importance, the highest number is a 5, 5 times 1.
Yep.
And then you add it up, and you'll get numbers that should lead you towards the right decision. If you built the thing right, if you built it with the right weightings, if you were really accurate and truthful in how you graded each one of the vendors or things.
So I guarantee you, half of our listeners will go, this is a great idea. It makes a lot of sense. And the other half will be like, this sounds too freaking complicated. Just saying.
Okay.
I like it. It works for me.
Did I describe it?
You described messy? It well. No, okay. wasn't messy at all. It's just... Some people will...
are not quantitative thinkers.
Yeah. That's all.
I feel that.
It's okay, though.
And then after adding up the numbers, you then got to do a gut check. Like, is this what I want to do?
Right.
Like, it's funny. You still go back to your hopefully not just your emotions, but your emotions are a part of it.
Yeah. Are any of these numbers skewed?
Yeah.
For the wrong reason.
Did I not weight the things properly?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's a bad one. Like, maybe I put something that's a 5 that should have been a 3. And, like, that's going to throw everything off. if I'm making a decision that involves a partner, I should also have them fill out the matrix too.
Yeah.
Not the weightings part. Like the same weightings have to be on both scorecards. But the score for each particular thing can be set by multiple people.
Yeah.
Now, if you're married, pick your spouse.
Yeah.
If you're in business, you pick your business partner.
Yeah.
But it's really important that both parties have really looked at all the different options and can really really have a good opinion about each one of these things.
You know, I actually developed something like this for couples that I was advising.
Really?
Where I had them complete some type of behavioral finance checklist.
Okay.
But what I did was I took their results and I figured out where they were aligned and where they were far apart. So I built formulas into this matrix.
Wow.
Told you I'm a nerd. To help them.
You are not lying.
To tell them, to show them where they were really far apart and where they were closer together on different subjects. And used it as a talking point to help them identify as a couple the things that they might need to work through together.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eye-opening too.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. So I took something that already existed and just made it better and work for a couple.
Yeah. But going back to uses on this matrix, picking a college.
Yep. A job opportunity, maybe.
Yeah. Picking an employer.
Yeah.
Maybe picking a career.
Mm-hmm.
Deciding, like, because sometimes a job, there might be one opportunity that's a work from home situation and one requires a commute. It really matters how important it is to you.
At that time.
It really matters, like, how much of a downer is it to commute?
Yeah.
Versus what you give up, which is the camaraderie in the office and the FaceTime and everything else.
And recognizing it could be different at different seasons or different times in your life. There are certain times where those things were more important than others.
Yeah. And also, everybody's not built for working from home.
Facts.
Yeah, like... Like, I, for one, am not.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm alone in that.
Yeah, I can, I'm pretty even. Like, I like having the option. So I make decisions every day about whether or not I'm coming to the office or whether or not I'm working from home.
So you're in that 10X camp, more decisions to make.
Yeah, but it's not hard. Yeah. So it doesn't feel like more. It's usually calendar driven.
Yeah.
So if I've got 4 Zoom meetings, it feels weird to come to the office to get on Zoom. I could just do that at home.
Yeah.
And I can do other things while that's happening. Just saying.
Yeah.
But I like the option. Or if I know I've got a personal thing going on that's happening at a certain time, I'm closer to it by being physically in the office than I am at home, I'm more likely going to be on time. I feel like I'm saving time.
Yeah. So other thoughts, like when you're looking for a job, like pay. Like for some people, pay is the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
And for others, pay is one of the things that matters, but it's not top of the list. So your weightings will rank really differently depending on who you are as a person.
Absolutely. That commute thing is a deal. I tell people all the time, you got to look at the entire comp package.
Yeah.
Benefits.
All that.
All the things.
And it's got to be tailored to you. That's why you
fulfillment,
weight
them. Fulfillment, if that's really important to you.
Yeah.
There's not much that feels great about a job you hate where you make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Some people will disagree, but it's for me, I definitely underestimated how important it was to feel fulfilled in the work I was doing.
Yeah.
And when I didn't have it, I was miserable.
Yeah.
I made a lot more money.
That
but
sounds
I was
nice.
Unhappy.
Yeah. That sounds nice.
Does
not sound nice.
Yeah. No, but I would actually say, yeah. I was like, you can take my titles away. You can call me whatever you want to call me. I don't even need a title. As long as you don't mess with my money, I'm good.
Yeah.
And 2 years later, I was like,
yeah,
miserable.
There are times where I've made mistakes using the matrix.
Okay.
It's mainly when I did not fully think about all the features and characteristics that matter to me.
Yeah.
Like the 5 things that maybe made it onto the sheet didn't include 2 or 3 things that I later discovered mattered to.
Yeah.
And so going back to thinking slow versus thinking fast, if you're going to use this matrix procedure, you really got to give it a lot of thought.
Yeah. But not so much thought that you don't make a decision.
Yeah. Think long, think right. but not too long, especially if I'm hungry.
Somewhere in the middle.
So we've broken down some really good ways to make decisions today. It's up to you to figure out where to use which techniques.
Do what works for you.
It's also up to you to recognize when you're doing fast thinking versus slow thinking.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you might need to be doing some slow thinking instead of the fast thinking. And hopefully you'll know the difference and when to use each approach.
Yeah. But if you're quantitatively inclined, sometimes you do toss all that aside and go with your gut.
Yeah. And that's okay.
But it's hard to know.
The gut works.
The gut works.
Keeping you safe for a long time.
I read a whole article about how they did that with Nerds gummy clusters. Changed the whole outlook of their company because they abandoned the market research and went with their gut and qualitative data instead of the quantitative analysis that they paid a lot of money to do.
And now Nerds are a household name.
$500 million in sales.
Sheesh. Hey.
90% of it from Nerds gummy clusters.
I don't even know what that is.
I'll tell you about it later.
Okay.
I'll send you the article from the journal.
Matter of fact, send me the gummy clusters. I'll taste them.
I have to look for them. Yes. There you go.
All right. So keep listening. We'll be back next week. I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.